Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. David is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of financial experience. And because he actually provides advice to clients on a daily basis, our hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory Services and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. Commentary given during this radio program is usually pretty smart, but should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities should not be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual's situation. Only if you hire David and his firm to help you, and only available where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Here he is, David Holland.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. I have a complete twist for you today. I have a special guest on the line who will join me in just a second. Have you ever wondered about living abroad? You ever thought about traveling around the world? You ever thought about going to another country and staying there for a while? Not just the cruise or the quick week or two trip? Well, one of the places that a lot of people think of, they say, well, if I could ever live in Europe or in Italy or France or Germany, we're going to get the inside scoop today, and we're going to talk about the money aspects of it, of course, but I've invited a special guest. Andrea Bouchot is my guest today. She is an author and a blogger. Her website is 20inparis.net, and she's written a couple of books, which will get you started. 20 in Paris is the first book, and then a second book is due out here shortly in April. The Paris Diaries, The Study Abroad Experience Uncensored. So, Andrea, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, David. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you for agreeing to be on the program. I think it is simply fascinating, your story, and I will share a little bit about it with our listeners. You say that you fell in love with Paris at the age of 13. What prompted that love affair?
Well, actually, a lover of France and the French language. My paternal grandfather is natively from Paris.
Oh, okay.
And when he came to the United States at 18 or 19 years old, he completely adopted American culture. So growing up, I had this really funky last name that no one could pronounce, but I didn't know anything else about French language and culture, and I would try and ask him, and he kind of left it behind. He just didn't want to go into it anymore. So studying it in school was a really great chance for me to learn and discover a little bit of my heritage. And that's when I really fell in love. I think this is an amazing language, an interesting culture, and it's just a really fascinating group of people. And I just couldn't wait to experience more and learn more about it. And I continued my studies all through high school and even into college, where it was my major.
Wow. So when did you first travel to France?
My very first visit, when I was, I think, 17 or 18, was with a high school French class trip.
Wow.
We spent a few days in Paris and then essentially hit the northern region of France, seeing Normandy, seeing the Bayou Tapestry. What else did we see? Essentially just the major sites in that French region. So that was my first taste of Paris at 17.
Okay, so when you went then, you already knew the language?
I spoke some in school, and I was in advanced level courses. I mean, I didn't speak it fluently, but I did know a little bit for that first trip, and I was able to, you know, go to a cafe and ask for croissants in the morning and get around town, no problem.
Okay, and so then the big move, or the big, when you went back, you actually applied for you applied for a visa to stay in the country for a while?
What happened is I chose to study abroad for my junior year of college, and when you go to study abroad for a semester or more, you have to have a student visa.
Okay.
I was already in the process of going to study abroad when I got my visa.
Very interesting. So how long was the first longer stay that you made?
It was 10 months, a little over 10 months.
Wow.
It was the whole time I studied abroad for.
And so at what point did you feel like you had gotten really comfortable with the language?
7 months in.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's a long time.
Yeah, but that's still, I mean, it's a long time, but it's also a short time. So this, all of this experience, and you, and I read your notes, you know, that you started journaling and started writing a diary, and you started really documenting your experience in France. And so what would be one of the things that would surprise people listening to this program about your, just you can, I know, I'm sure there are many, but what would be one of the ones that you say, hey, you won't believe this?
Oh my gosh, I don't know where to start. There are so many.
I knew there would be.
I think one of the things that maybe still will surprise people is that there are so many what I call hidden treasures in Paris. It's not a very big city. And you think of the major monuments, you think of Eiffel Tower and the Louvre, and they got all that good stuff. But there are so many little hidden treasures. When you walk around Paris, I mean, I would walk around the same general area all the time just for like a leisurely walk, and I would discover something new each and every time. And I was like, you think I'd know this route? And it was each and every time was something new and something hidden. And there'd be a palace literally hidden in plain sight. I mean, that's something that is just always extraordinary to me. And the fact that I get to walk where like old historical figures walk, that's just absolutely fascinating. I'm walking where Napoleon once walked and held court. It's so cool. It's so fascinating.
That's really interesting. So here's a question I think that would be the first one that my listeners would want me to ask you. How does somebody decide if they want to study abroad or, literally seek out an opportunity to maybe live with families or some sort of experience where you're in another country like France for an extended period of time? What's the thought process somebody needs to go through there?
You have to find out if you're a student and you want to study abroad, the first thing I can recommend is you have to figure out if it's going to benefit your major and your ultimate career needs. So, for example, I was a French major, and going to France benefited my major because I was going to be taking nothing but courses in French and about the French language. Now, there are people who do choose to study abroad, even though it doesn't benefit their major, like they're not going to be able to take their course requirements. I think that's a mistake. If it's not going to benefit your major course requirements, and it's not going to benefit your ultimate career needs, and it's not, then it's just worth vacationing for a couple weeks in the summertime.
Right.
But it has to certainly meet your school needs first. They do come first, and they do cost a lot of money. So you don't want to go abroad and spend all that time, money, and energy and not have it benefit you in the end.
Well, and that's the next thing we got to get to is the cost component here, because, well, you know, I did forewarn you, Andrea, that this is a financial show. So we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back, and we'll talk more with Andrea Bouchot. And more good stuff. Stay right there.
What's your dream? Play golf every day of the week? Turn that hobby into a new career? With careful planning, you can make it happen. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your no-obligation consultation. At Holland Financial, we want to help you take the first step towards making your dreams a reality. That number again is 888-747-7526.
What's your dream? Is it to travel to France? Well, Andrea Bouchot is on the line with me. She's an author. She's a blogger. She's got a website, 20inparis.net. She's written two books, and the Paris Diaries, the Study Abroad Experience Uncensored, and then her first book was 20 in Paris. So let's dive into the some of the costs here, Andrea. What should they expect? I mean, I know that the prices, of course, will vary dramatically depending on, you know, whether you're going one-star, five-star type of travel experience. But what are some of the things that they need to be, I guess, expecting or anticipating?
One thing I always recommend is the moment that you know you want to start studying abroad, be it your freshman year of college or even just 6 months before the registration date, you want to start saving money. The best way to actually pay for studying abroad is through saving. And I always recommend students that you want to really budget $700 to $1,000 per month for expenses. And whenever I say that, I get these big deer in headlight eyes, but it's true. Living abroad is very expensive, and things like food, laundry, going to cafes during the week for lunch, going to museums.
Don't forget the French wine, too, right?
And exactly, French wine. Those things do add up very quickly, and especially with the conversion rate. So $1,000 is probably a good, like, 700-800 euros.
Yeah.
So that's why you want to really take that into consideration, that monthly budget.
You know, the interesting thing I think people would want to know, Andrea, is, you know, when you have a conversion like that, you go, right now it's about $1.36 to buy a euro.
Okay.
So if you do that, are you really getting $1.30? In other words, is it like whatever you buy, you're getting $1.36 worth of something? Is it feel like that, or does it feel like you're spending a dollar? Is that what it, I mean, the way the exchange works is, if you buy the croissant, does it, and it costs $2 here, or is it going to cost, you know, a dollar or 1.5 euros? You get what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. So the answer is a yes and a no. So, for example, if you go to lunch at a cafe, that can be, you know, for something to drink and maybe a little sandwich or that coffee syrup or something, like 10 euros. A $10 lunch sounds about right for the United States.
Okay.
But when you look back at your bank statement or your credit card statement, that 10 euro lunch was really, what, $12, $13?
Yeah.
And then you go, oh my gosh. So when you go to buy the item, it's comparable. But when you go to do the conversion, it's not. And okay. therein lies the problem. So you're going, you know, doing your same thing. Oh, this isn't too bad. But once you start getting that credit card statement, you're like, oh, yikes, I got to start cutting down on a couple things.
Okay, so it is more expensive. That's the essential thing, and people need to be prepared for that.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. It definitely, especially because the euro is beating the dollar, it is more expensive. And my night, so that 10-euro lunch seems about standard, but then when it's not 10 euros, it's like $13.
Okay, I'm with you. So, okay, so there's the conversion, there's those costs, and then people obviously need to save. And so talk about one of the most basic and important things. Where do you stay?
There's actually a couple options as a student. You can do a host family situation, which probably is the most popular. It's a really great way to know the culture and foreign language, if that's applicable, hands-on. And that's something that your study abroad program would help you organize. So they do background checks with the families who apply to be these host family situations, make sure that they're safe and healthy for hosting a student. You can get an apartment abroad. Something that I always recommend students, for example, in Paris is, you can rent an apartment with other American students. But remember, there are millions of other people looking for an apartment in Paris, too. It's not just you. So it's a lot difficult, something that your program would not help you with. So you're on completely your own when you try to get an apartment. But there are advantages to that as well. And you can also do a foreign dorm. That whole dorm concept is really new to Europe, and that's something that we've had for many, many years. But the concept of I'm living in a building with other students is it's just not very European. But they are becoming quite popular, especially with foreign students. So some schools do offer them. But it's something you have to look into, and there always is a priority over the European students or the students of that host country rather than the foreign exchange students. Mm. They're really hard to get into. But all are free or doable. Those are the most popular options are the host family, the apartment, or the dorm. But you really have to look into how can I get into this apartment or how can I get into this dorm situation? What is the cost? The most expensive is the host family and the apartment. The dorm is the least expensive, but there are also the hidden fees.
What's the price range for living with a host family?
It's about $10,000 for a semester.
Wow, okay. That is significant.
Yeah.
Hmm. Better be saving a lot. That's good.
You have to be saving a lot. And sometimes you can use student loans for many programs. Like if you find a study abroad program that's federally recognized, you can use your student loan, but that loan might not cover your host family situation. Sometimes they do. It depends upon what kind of loan you have and the way that the program is set up. You might be able to use it, but again, you always want to have that safety net of having, I save money. That's really your safety net. That's what's really going to be funding this experience.
Very good. Andrea Bouchot is our guest today, ladies and gentlemen. 20inparis.net. She's got books out, good stuff, The Study Abroad Experience Uncensored. That's the Paris Diaries. And 20 in Paris. Quick break. We'll be right back.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelation inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read, you'll find clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. The number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Andrea Bouchot is my guest. She has the website 20inparis.net, and the books are The Paris Diaries, The Study Abroad Experience, Uncensored, and her first book was 20 in Paris. So, Andrea, I've got to ask you a little bit more about France itself, because I will confess I don't know a ton about France, and you know, we, of course, know what we hear, headlines and, you know, different things, but there it's a very rich culturally, and there's a huge, long history that we don't have time to go into all the details, but I would be very interested. I know. Well, I do know they got a new president who shares my last name, Frank Holland, right?
He has his Hollande.
Yeah, I have to Americanize it when I say it. I'm not going to try that. We'd have to edit out my how badly I would pronounce that. But Andrea, here's the thing I would ask. Tell us a little bit about the economy of France. I think that, you know, people don't know, we may not know a lot about it, and then also some of the major cultural things that we might be surprised to know.
Sure. Well, unfortunately, France's economy is kind of like ours. It's not doing too well. Even the euro is beating the dollar. On the whole, their economy is tanking. It's not doing that great.
What's causing it? Is there anything? Yeah, I was going to say, if you have an idea what's causing that.
I was going to say, my personal opinion is their socialist government. So what happens is in France, they're very heavy social programs.
Okay.
I actually read an article recently in, I think it was Bloomberg Weekly or something, that their national, the national gross domestic product is taxes. There's something wrong when you're not really making any products, but all your money is coming from taxes.
Wow.
They approved a law not too long ago, maybe a couple months ago, took place in January.
Tax
cut,
right? If you're
making more than, what is it?
Well, they put through a tax cut, didn't they?
No, it's a tax increase.
If you're
making more than, if you're making more than €1 million, you have a 75% income tax.
Whew. Wow.
Obviously, all the rich people in France are starting to do mass exodus.
and then who are they going to tax?
I think that's the question that I'm waiting to hear.
Wow.
And so that's probably one of their main reasons why they don't really have that great of economy, is because the demand on the systems is too great, but there's no income really coming in to support that infrastructure.
Wow. That's a challenge.
It's a very challenge. The cost of living over there is extremely expensive. Even things like gas is like €16 a gallon. So nobody in Paris drives around with a full tank of gas. Everyone's driving around with like a quarter, half a tank, because you can't afford to fill it up. It's a couple hundred euros.
And they're not driving SUVs, are they?
I mean, they're not driving SUVs, no. It's a little stick shift, you know, from 1982 that they're all driving.
Well, I guess it's always how well off a country or a people are is always a relative thing. Tell us, so I know that's not good news. Let's hear some good stuff. Talk to me about the culture, because you know the French. French have been around what seems like forever, and United States, of course, is a relatively young country. Talk to us a little bit about some of those that richness of the country in terms of the non-financial aspects.
Well, one of the great things about French culture is there truly is a joie de vivre, and I'm sure you've heard that expression. What it means is a joy of living. And the French do love that. I mean, for them, there's an expression, and it's translated is, you work to live, not live to work. The French love their time off. They really enjoy vacationing. When they go on vacation, they vacation. They're not always checking emails and answering phones. And the one thing that they love to do is eat. Eating is an art over there. It truly is. I mean, it's one of the best foods you ever had. The produce and the meat is just, it's so fresh. It's different than here. I don't know how to explain it, but I mean, strawberries and grapes have a taste that you've never tasted before. It's just, it's a little bit more fresher, it's a little bit more earthy, it's just, it's so delicious, and they can take the blandest piece of chicken and make it a piece of art.
Well, that,
without being too crazy, it's just wonderful.
That'd probably be a challenge in traveling and going there and staying there for a long time, if the food is that good, to be careful not to gain too much weight.
Well, you know, it's just different. The portions are different. So,
okay.
I mean, if you truly eat French, you're going to eat less meals, and you're going to eat your biggest meal at lunch.
Okay.
And so by having a smaller dinner, you know, you're not going to go to bed with, like, a really big steak in your belly. You know, you're going to bed with something a little bit smaller and a little bit lighter. And that's probably one of the best things, is just really that quality and workmanship, and so many things they take pride in. There's just that perseverance and that saving of an older culture. The eating, it's just, overall, they enjoy life over in France. And that's probably one of the most beautiful things about the culture. And just talking, they love to talk.
Oh.
And they love when Americans can speak any level of French. And
really?
When I first got to France, I was terrified to speak. I was so afraid of making a mistake. And I think I was being a harder judge than they were, because you speak two words, oh, they're so excited.
So
their English isn't very good.
So they don't hate us. They like us.
They do like it. Now, of course, you always find somebody who doesn't like you, but, I mean, for the whole, the French do like Americans. The Parisians can be a little snotty, but so can New Yorkers.
Yeah, that's
true.
The major
city. When you go outside of, when you especially go into the countryside, especially Normandy, and you go, I'm American, they are, like, just big low. They're just like, oh, my God, we love Americans. We love the United States. There truly is an appreciation. and they think that all of our products are exotic.
Oh, that's funny.
It was so funny. I was with somebody one time, and a student, and she was like, oh, I got this sweater in the United States. It's made in America.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. She thought it was the most exotic thing ever.
That's so cool. If you're just joining us, Andrea Bouchot is my guest. She is a blogger and an author, and the website is 20inparis.net. The book is The Paris Diaries, A Study Abroad Experience Uncensored, which comes out in April, and her first book is 20 in Paris. Quick break, right back.
If you had a serious health issue, wouldn't you want a second opinion? Is your financial well-being any different? Make sure your retirement plan is the best it can be for your situation. An independent financial advisor can review key elements like stock market exposure, diversification, and fees. Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
And we are back with Andrea Bouchot. And she's an author, and she's a blogger. I told you about that earlier in the program. One of the things I read in your material, Andrea, I wanted to ask you about is what you reference this thing called a W effect. What is that?
The W effect stands for, if you think of the letter W, there's all kinds of points. There's two low points, and then there's three high points. And the W effect was supposed to describe the transition period that you'll have when you transition to a new culture, that new language, that new experience for studying abroad. And I only heard about it one time from my program in a little kind of get you ready for France booklet, if you will. And I was like, oh, okay, this sounds pretty simple. It's going to be, you know, a little homesick, and then I'll be happy, and then I'll be a little down again. And it sounded pretty easy to me, but the W effect is truly only a guide. It does not actually describe the transition experience to studying abroad and what it's actually like to move away from family and friends for the first time in your life. It's not a true indicator in the very least bit.
Yeah, I would imagine that it would be a sense of lack of security. You know, you got to get used to your surroundings. You got to just feeling safe and where you are. That would be a big adjustment, I would think.
Well, it's one of the, for me, the transition was probably the hardest part. I also wasn't adequately prepared. That's due to me. That's also due to my program. I was the first and only person in my family to ever embark on studying abroad. We didn't know what to expect, and there's this very romantic notion, especially when you're studying abroad in Paris, there's a double romantic notion of it's going to be lots of traveling and fun and new friends and experiences, and it certainly is, but that the effect of, wow, I'm really alone. Like, I'm really alone from my family and friends for the very first time. No one's going through this experience with me. I don't speak as well as I thought I did. Nobody understands me. I got a new school. Maybe an unpleasant host family situation, not getting along too well, and it's all at the same time. It's not like they come in little spurts. It is all at once. That can be a lot to take on. And homesickness and culture shock are real, and they're very, very serious if you don't know how to handle them well.
Yeah, and I was thinking also when I mentioned about your personal security, you know, because, you know, you have the language, you have a foreign environment that you're in, but also the differences in culture and how people respond to you. And talk to a little bit about the population. What's the mix of the population in terms of diversity over there?
Well, it's an international city, so there is quite a diverse population.
Okay.
Just like in New York or even in Dallas, you know, there is like a Jewish community, there is an Italian community, a German community. There's not a Mexican community. You won't find any of Mexicans in France.
Okay.
But they do have a very large Muslim population. So I say in France, and you're walking down the street, you're going to probably see mostly white French Caucasian people, and you're going to see North African Muslim people.
Okay.
So probably their two biggest populations that they have. But remember, at any time, we have visitors from all over the world. At any time, there's lots of communities that are visiting us.
That's really interesting. So all in all, the experience, I'm sure, can be rewarding, and you talk about this in your next upcoming book. You kind of took an approach where you share in the Paris Diaries, you share your personal experiences in writing this for the reader, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, when I was in Paris, my journal was often, especially that first semester, was very rough for me with that transition because I wasn't prepared. And I expected a paradise. For some reason, I went over with all these romantic notions. France doesn't have any social problems. This is a great country called France.
Right.
I went really deluded. And often I was just so frustrated that my journal was the only place I could really talk about my observances and my experiences. And it was very positive at the end, and I would recommend studying abroad to anyone as long as it benefits your major and career goals.
Excellent.
Excellent.
Well, we're gonna have to cut off right there. Andrea Bouchot has been our guest today, and the website is 20imparis.net, and I've told you about the books. There's more information there. Andrea, thank you so much for spending some time with us and sharing with us about your experience.
Thank you for having me, David. It was a pleasure.
All right. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.